back live in the studio. My, it's just real comfortable here. There's no doubt about it. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, July the 20th, 2007. And the reason I'm saying I'm back is because we were at the Houston Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Had a number of hours there on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I want to thank, of course, Roland Lettner for taking over for me for a couple of spots when I was gone. I am live in the studio today. Buzz can attest to that. And we are looking forward to hearing from you. You can call us because it's Open Line Friday, 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address at lawgospel@kfuo.org. Yes, got in last night about 2 a.m. I left there and drove a straight 16 hours through. We had a booth at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for Concordia Mission Society. And, of course, we were over there at KFUO. So I'm glad to be back. If you have any theological questions at all, don't hesitate to phone up. This would be the opportunity to do so. Of course, getting back early this morning, going to the computer, over 250 emails. I don't look at emails while I'm gone on trips. So quite a few there, and we've got plenty to respond to here from our listeners on AM 850 KFUO. So let's just start right off with them. This is from Matt, who asked, do you have a reading list you could email me on law and gospel literature? If so, it would be appreciated. Well, what I'm going to say to you, Matt, is that I'm not really sure how much you're aware of. In fact, those of you who would like to have me answer you on an email, I really prefer to do phone calls rather than emails. Don't worry about long distance. I don't pay any long distance charges with the phone company I have. If I phone 3 minutes in a month or 3,000 minutes, it's the same cost. So put down your phone number, and I wrote back to Matt telling him that, because I can then find out exactly where you're at, which books you have, which books you don't. But the number one book, in my opinion, no doubt about it, well, I guess number two, because number one would be the Bible. But after the Bible and some great passages that talk about law and gospel distinctions, I just can't think of a better book than C.F.W. Walther's book, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel, or its summary book, God's No and God's Yes. Here, Dr. Walther, although he's talking to seminarians, does it on a level that lay people can understand. That is, there's really not any other foreign languages like Latin, Greek, or Hebrew you need to know to read this book. But he shows 21 ways in which we really mess up, we pastors mess up law and gospel. I'll give you one very simple example. Somebody comes to you and says, I don't feel close to God. He feels away from me. And one of the most popular ways to get somebody to get closer to God is to tell them things like, well, you should come to church more often, or you got to come to a Bible study, or you need to read your Bible every day, or you. Folks, that is law. It's law, and it's inappropriate. Because the gospel teaching is that feelings are not to be the legitimate validity of the truth of your relationship to God. Don't count on your feelings, count on His promises. So to such a person, I would bring up the promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember, Christians, your body is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is in you, within you. There are so many wonderful promises to offset what your feelings tell you. And it's a clear law and gospel distinction. So thank you, Matt. And I'm looking forward to getting your phone number so we can maybe pursue some other avenues for your reading pleasure. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. numbers here are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Betty, who's at Lake St. Louis. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Pastor Tom. I read two letters this week in the Post-Dispatch, which I think would apply to your program. And these were from people who took offense at some of the statements that Pope Benedict was saying. And the first one said, I believe in God in heaven and in living a good Christian life. Among my friends are Catholics, people from other Christian denominations, and Jews. They are all good people. I believe people who live a good life, which includes believing in something beyond what we have here on earth, doing good works, helping people less fortunate, and basically following the golden rule, would reach a reward after life on earth. And the second letter said they were also offended at some remarks by Pope Benedict, and he said, I believe what God, Allah, Yahweh, whatsoever, is, I can't believe, he said, I can't believe that God, Allah, Yahweh, whatever, is so unkind that he selected only one group to be saved. I believe there's room for all good people, no matter what their beliefs, in heaven or ever, whatever one wants to call the afterlife. So I thought maybe you'd like to comment on that.
I sure would. I'm sure that on the one hand, would you agree with me, Betty, that there were some of the Pope's remarks we would be offended too at, but not in what you were reading, primarily in the idea that the Roman Catholic Church is the only valid Christian church on earth.
Yes, I do believe. I think that is was a wrong statement, but
on these,
this reflects what so many people believe.
Yes. No, there's just no doubt about it that, and unfortunately, the Roman Catholic Church sometimes gives that impression. For example, if you read their modern catechism, you will find that they do not think it is necessary to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to good Jews and good Muslims, because they can be saved by being good means that somehow the Holy Spirit is working with them. So they're even confusing in this area. Were you aware of that?
No, not really.
Yes, yeah. Roman Catholics now teach that Muslims who are good do not necessarily go to hell. It's called the Anonymous Christian. It came up a few decades ago. One of their scholars, Shilabix, is the author, so to speak, on some of that. But it is now found officially in the new Roman Catholic Catechism. Because for them, they feel that if somebody is doing a truly good work, and they define a good work as what appears to be an unselfish good work, that can only come about by the Holy Spirit. And so these people are Christians anonymously. Even they are unaware of the fact that they are Christians, but they would have to be in order to do these good works or have certain attitudes, the catechism says, such as not fearing death. If there is someone who does not fear death, that can only come about by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that would be another sign and indication that this person will not be damned. But we, of course, do not agree with that, because we believe, teach, and confess that from God's point of view, the only good work that he recognizes as that which is helpful for salvation has to have motivation of love of Jesus Christ. So from God's point of view, every good work done by good people who are not Christian are always done out of their self-interest. They may be unaware of this. We may not be able to see it. But that's what God's judgment says, and that's why he sent his Son, in order that we might get out of the bondage of our good works as needing to be the way of salvation.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I'll talk a little bit more on this. Thanks for calling, Betty. This is one of the primary distinctions between law and gospel, and I believe about a week or a week and a half ago, I began the program with the idea that most people, well, I began this way, if you'll recall. I asked a question, do you know any good people? All right, do you know any good people that will go to hell? And normally, if people say, I know good people, and they have them in their minds, they will not think that they go to hell, because being good seems to be a criterion that people take as necessary to go to heaven. Now, there's no doubt that in God's eyes, Christians are not only good, they're perfect and sinless, but that doesn't come about by doing good works. Here's one of the easiest ways I'm finding to show a person, somebody else who thinks that good people go to heaven, that being good in no way offsets sins. I use the analogy of being arrested for robbing a bank. You're found to be guilty. You even confess you robbed the bank. You needed money. You're sentenced to 5 years in jail as punishment. But during the sentencing, you ask the judge if he could switch or exchange the 5 years for 10 years of cleaning up parks, feeding the hungry, and building homes for the homeless. You're willing to do that for 10 years if he won't send you to jail. Well, you know what he's going to say to that? Obviously not. Good works cannot be exchanged for punishment. And by the way, even when occasionally somebody does get that kind of a sentence, for instance, they'll say, all right, we'll put you on probation, but you have to do 100 hours of community service. When they say that, that is meant as a punishment. They don't consider you're doing that good work as offsetting your crime. No, that's a punishment. So, if you want to hand God your good works, they would have to be seen as you're needing to do it out of being a punishment. And here's the point. Unbelievers do good works as a punishment. That is, they do them because they think God wants them done to exchange for punishment, to take care of their own sins. They hand God good works. Now here's the problem with that. If it was that God just demanded occasional good works, and you did more than he demanded, then we could see an opportunity for saying, well, see, my good works now offset my sin. But God's demand is not occasional good works or occasional perfection or sinlessness, but total sinlessness. That is to say, he demands that you always do a good thought, a good word, a good deed, and always with motivation out of love for Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but even when people see me do good works, a lot of times I'm only doing them because of a fear of a punishment, like driving. I drove, and since I didn't have any schedule to get back on time, I drove for 14 straight hours at the speed limit. And the reason I did that is, well, number one, you're supposed to do it. But number two, who wants to get stopped in Alabama or Texas with a ticket? Have to go back to court there, lose your license, or all kinds of reasons. Now, I also drove that because I believe in Jesus Christ and I want to obey his laws. But there's always that other element. That's because my old Adam needs that. My old Adam, he's got the idea that the quicker you are between two points in a distance, the less chance of an accident. And when you stop and think about it, that does kind of make sense. But it's not realistic. The point, though, getting back, is that God demands absolute perfection. And if he already demands absolute perfection, how can you be more perfect than perfect? How can you take works to offset that which you failed to do before? It's not like that God asked you to build a building and earlier you were slow at it and it was not looking very good, and now you're much better at building and you end up building it and he says, okay, then that satisfies. No. These are not wages you owe God. I've said this a number of times. Christians are the only ones who are free to do good works. Why? Because everybody else has to. Now, what the Pope is receiving in this criticism, at least in this regard, that Jews and others who are not believers may not be part of the true church, if he really did teach that and believed it, we would join with him. His point is really something quite different than what the letter writers seem to have understood. He's not saying that there aren't Christians elsewhere or believers that are going to be saved outside the pale of the Roman Catholic Church. What he is simply saying is that the only true church on earth is the Roman Catholic Church. Now, people can still be members of that invisible church. It's just that they're not members of the true visible church, the true Roman Catholic Church. Through it alone comes the way of salvation. And if Protestants or Orthodox or others just so happen to have enough of faith in Jesus that they're saved, but not members of the Roman Catholic Church, that doesn't mean that their congregations are church. No. In fact, Lutherans aren't really that far apart from the Pope on this, in this sense. Well, we believe, teach, and confess that anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior is a member of the Holy Christian Church, regardless of denominational affiliation, or even if they belong to a church denomination. However, when it comes to the true teaching and the right use of the sacraments, the reason I'm Lutheran is because I have been totally convinced by the Bible that only the Lutheran Church has the pure teaching and the right use of the sacraments. That's what the Reformation was all about. The way to test this is take differences. For example, in the Roman Catholic Church, they believe a coin into the coffer rings a soul from purgatory springs, that you can actually pay the church money to get out of time of purgatory or do other good works. Now, the Lutherans say, no, that's not true. There is no such thing as purgatory. So now, you need to go to the Bible and see, okay, who's right? Every layperson is quite capable of searching the scriptures to discern between two absolutely opposing points of view. Now, though I definitely disagree with the Roman Catholic Church on purgatory, I don't think that that is enough disagreement with the Church of God to say that Roman Catholics are going to hell. No. Individual Lutherans may have some loony beliefs every now and then that aren't in sync with the Lutheran Church, and if they are not attacking the main teaching of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that they're going to hell either. However, the idea that good works can actually earn your way to heaven is really ridiculous if you stop and think about it. It is true that works make a difference in the area of business relationships. So you want to get promoted, do your work, they'll see what you're doing, and the reason you'll get the promotion is you're bringing in more money. That's who they like to promote. But now think of not a business relationship, but a personal relationship. How would you like to have a child who comes home every day and gives you a present so you won't hit her? How would you like to have a wife who every day makes sure she cooks exactly what you want so you don't yell at her? That this is the view people who think that good works get them to heaven have of God. It's a horrible view of God, that he's some kind of just individual up there who really... the closest you can get to this is Buddhism and Hinduism, because they actually teach this in karma. People get what they deserve. Now, when you have that kind of an attitude, then obviously you're going to try and do good works because you want to get more. But then, if good works really do save people, then they save themselves. The only thing God has done is recognize that good works are part of the payment price for your sins, and he'll accept it. But the God of the Bible will not, because you can't buy him off like you can do other false idols. Anybody who gives good works to God to offset his wrath, to get on his good side, to be saved, has a very, very low view of God. It is a view I don't even want of my own parents. It'd be like going home at Christmas to see Mom to make sure I stay in the will. See, that's the great reward I'm going to have. I'll be in the will. Although, who knows, you know, how rich she is or this kind of thing. But that's the way people would think. This is the way you would deal with your parents. If you dealt with your parents the way people who live under the law deal with others. Now, we do not have a God who desires that people go to hell. And we certainly don't have a God who's decided who's going to hell, and there's nothing that can be done about it. We have a God who desires all men to be saved. And he has placed in this sin-filled world the Holy Christian Church to deliver that message. And that message can come through a radio, a television, a teaching, printing media, many ways. That's what we Christians do. We get the message out. We keep it straight. And that way, people truly can be burned up with the Holy Spirit as he enters them, in such a way that they now become the temple of God himself. This only comes about by a hearing of the word of God, and not by a hearing of the law telling you what good works you need to do, but a hearing of the gospel. The next time you hear somebody say, "Well, I know that God will take good people to heaven," stop them and say, "Oh, is that why your mother wants you to come home at Christmas because you're so good to her?" No. There's a relationship that's there. And that relationship is sustained as we continue to visit, not for the purpose of winning them over, buying them off, manipulating them, but just because we love them. You are free to do good works for God, which really means doing good works for your neighbor, without any ulterior motive. Now, you want to join other religions where good works make a difference as to how God regards you? I don't want to be part of that religion. What kind of God is that? Well, it's a God of justice. It's a God of karma. It's a God who gives you what you deserve. If I get what I deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So, on this Open Line Friday, we thank Betty for telling us about articles that were in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, that's the daily newspaper that we could refer to. Phone me at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker. Stay with us through the break.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to join me every Sunday afternoon at 1:05 p.m. for some thoughts about life and a little relief from strife on Jubilation. You'll get a little scripture, a few prayers, some real life stories, favorite Bible passages, and I mean loads of Christ-centered music. It's all on the menu just for you. So plan now to join me this Sunday afternoon for Jubilation beginning at 1:05 p.m. right here on AM 850 KFUO.
Storytelling in the galleries at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park are inspired by the artifacts and themes you'll find in the galleries. This summer, find out why the editors of St. Louis Magazine selected the Missouri History Museum as the A-list of storytelling for children. Hear a new tale each Friday at 10 a.m. or Saturday at 1 p.m. It's free, and it's in the air-conditioned comfort of the Missouri History Museum galleries, Lindell at DeBolivar in Forest Park. For more information, visit mohistory.org.
I'm Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. A husband who puts a lot of time and energy into his career needs to make sure he doesn't alienate his wife. Here's my colleague, Dr. James Dobson.
I find that many men pour themselves into that life vision, and when he comes home, he is shocked to find that his wife not only doesn't share that vision, but she resents it, because she tends to feel that he's married to that vision instead of being married to her. Whereas if she could share the vision with him and they could grow together, there wouldn't be a competition for his love. It would all be one package.
Guys, if this sounds like you, take time to sit down with your wife and discuss your dreams. Let her know how important she is to you, as important as the vision you have, and that you want her to share that vision with you. If she doesn't feel like she's competing with your dream, she'll be more likely to support you in it. For more on having a healthy marriage, come visit us at family.org.
Well, July is here, and that means the warmth of the summer sun. Perhaps July contains a special day for you, a birthday or an anniversary. May I suggest a July day sponsorship? AM850 KFUO has quite a few available days in July. If you would like to support the radio ministry of AM850 KFUO, please consider becoming a day sponsor in July. Call me, Chuck Rathard, at 314-505-7831 to sign up.
On the next, Joy, Bach, a cantata which contains music that Bach loved so much, he used it again in the famous B minor Mass. Plus hymns, spirituals, anthems, and a single cello playing 16 parts. Yes, we're all multitasking these days. This is Ron Clem, inviting you to join us this week for Joy. Listen for Joy on the web at KFUO.org and Sunday afternoons at 4:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org has several podcasts available for you to choose from. Simply go to KFUO.org, click on the podcast link to the left, and choose from Issues Etc., The Bible Study, and Law and Gospel, then listen at your convenience. What's a podcast? It's simply a way to download automatically a radio program to your portable listening device. Visit WorldwideKFUO.org today and listen anywhere, anytime.
At AM 850 KFUO, we have one message, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Take a look at our website and you'll find many different contexts for that message, from wrestling with the basics to Sunday morning church services, from By the Way to the Bible study. You'll find the right combination of context and style to match your preferences. And sometimes while sampling our archives, you may find yourself thinking of a friend who needs to hear what's being said. We encourage you to share at KFUO.org.
Tom Baker back from Houston, Texas. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Convention. It's Ask the Pastor on this Friday, July the 20th, 2007. Numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I tell you, we were told Houston would be really hot, and it was just quite wonderful weather. In fact, it was a little rainy, but we only got caught in the rain actually on the very last day, and we were able to go underneath and load up. So it didn't matter really much at all. It was just really quite a nice surprise. Like Texas a lot. In fact, I think we like it so much. Why don't we go talk to somebody in Texas, Jonathan in Plano. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
How far is Plano from Houston?
Well, it's just by Dallas. I don't know the exact mileage.
Oh, yeah, Dallas. Okay. So you had rain yesterday.
Yeah.
I went through 5 hours of it. It's kind of hard to go 70 miles an hour in torrential rain when all the other cars are going 40, but, well.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
All right. Well, I was curious about the Lutheran understanding of baptism. Now, I am Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but I have had two main reasons for wanting to be clarified about it. One is because I've had discussions with a Southern Baptist friend of mine who holds to the Baptist understanding of it. And I also have another friend who was raised in the Southern Baptist tradition who was not baptized and I wanted to basically have a full understanding of it before I really push him to get baptized, which I have been pushing him for it. But
do you have a specific question or a certain area you would like me to address?
Well, one thing that I was really specific area. How about if baptism can be considered? Like, how is baptism not another gospel? Because essentially, it washes away sins, something to that effect, right?
Yes. What do you mean? How is it not another gospel? If we believe, teach, and confess that the gospel comes through word and sacrament, then that's just kind of a visible way of God acknowledging that what he says in his word is actually taking place. Let me ask you this, Jonathan. You're quite familiar with, of course, an adoption.
Yeah.
Say there's an orphan, and, oh, they want so much to be adopted. Then they hear that they are being adopted, and then they're handed a piece of paper with which is the adoption certificate. They wouldn't say is, well, what is this second way of being adopted? You see, they would see it as a continuum between what the new foster parents are saying and the adoption certificate is a backing up of the promise given that you are adopted. We look at baptism the same way. Because God doesn't want us to rely on our faith to know that we're forgiven, because I don't know about your faith, Jonathan, but my faith goes up and down. Sometimes I'm sinning, sometimes I'm not, so I have weak faith. God decided to give us a certificate and a sign, a evidence that you truly have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins, and that's what baptism is.
Well, I mean, what about with the infants? Because the Southern Baptists, they believe in the accountability, and the Lutherans, to my knowledge, do not have scriptural evidence that proves that we're sinful even when we're in the womb.
Yes, that's because Psalm 51 says, in sin did my mother conceive me. And number two, we also know that the Holy Spirit can come to a baby and give faith, because he did so in the Gospel of Luke to John the Baptist, who wasn't even born yet. Remember, he leaped in the womb for joy when Jesus entered the room, who was about less than a centimeter in length in the womb of Mary, because it had happened right after the angel announced the future conception. So we would say this. The other thing I would say, just ask them, find any passage in the Bible that talks about this age of accountability, where infants either are not considered sinful, or if they're considered sinful, that they're not held accountable for it. The Bible verse says this: God so loved the world, not the world over 12 years old, the entire world, that he gave his only begotten son.
All right, and
pretend you are them. How would they respond to that? Let's do a little exchange here.
Well, they would probably cite something from the Old Testament with the around the time of Joshua, if I remember correctly. I think it was something in the historical record which leads them to come up with the notion of the age of accountability.
The only thing that I think I've heard is, remember when they sinned, they went back and wandered another 38 plus years to make the full 40. And those who are over a certain age...
Yeah, that's the thing I'm thinking of.
Okay, now that was an accountability for that particular decision that they did not want to go into the land of Canaan because of the giants. That was a specific kind of sin. And we recognize that. For example, God would not hold a child accountable belonging to a church where false teaching is being taught, where he would hold accountable, say, the adults. But we're not talking about specific sins that one could be held accountable for and not. We're talking about sin itself. Did Jesus come and die for everyone or just for those over a certain age? The thing that would bother me is if I really believe that, it's kind of like this view that Roman Catholics and others have that people who have never heard the gospel and are good, like Muslims and Jews, they'll be saved because of their goodness. Yeah. Well, I would never send missionaries anywhere because as soon as you send a missionary, they now have heard the gospel. Here they were going to heaven before you sent the missionary. Now that you sent the missionary, there's a good chance they're going to hell. Well, what kind of mission work is that? And in the same way with baptism, if I truly believe there was an age of accountability, then why would anybody be sad when a child dies? We know for sure they go to heaven, regardless of who they're affiliated with, even without baptism, etc. You see, it just doesn't make sense according to the scripture.
All right. I guess the only other thing then is, two other things, but the
go ahead.
One is that let's just say that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has brought someone to faith, and for whatever reason they can't get baptized. What significance might that have?
The Bible verse is this. That's an excellent question, Jonathan. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Notice, and is not baptized is not in the second part. So we believe, teach, and confess that though baptism is important for the assurance that I would have that I'm saved, it's not necessary for anybody to have in order to be saved. If you have received Jesus Christ in your heart, if you trust him for your salvation, the lack of baptism is not an impediment to going to heaven.
All right, and if you, if the Holy Spirit is working in you, you're probably going to want to seek out the baptism.
Yes. What happens, well, the two examples I would give right out of the Bible, the Ethiopian eunuch, as Philip was speaking to him, once he understood the message of Christ, he saw water there and said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" And the answer was nothing. And he got baptized immediately. And the apostle Saul, when he became Paul, remember, he was blind and he was baptized. So, yes. Now, the times when people reject baptism is because they're still under the impression that baptism is our work, and it is something that really doesn't bring salvation because it's a work of man. We get around that by making it very clear that God uses the voices of human beings to do his work and to say his work. So when I, as a pastor, baptize someone, and I say, "I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," I am following the words of Jesus in Matthew 28:19. And therefore, it is God doing the miracle. I have no authority to do it. It's just like when I'm a judge. If you were a judge, Jonathan, and somebody robbed the bank, and it is now time to pronounce sentence after they were found guilty, you have no power to send anybody to jail. But you have an office with authority that if it is done according to justice, you can then say, "I sentence you to 5 years in jail." And it's as though God himself is sentencing them. So you don't have the power as a judge, but you do in your office. I don't have a power to forgive the sins of anybody as a pastor, except in my office as a Christian. And of course, as a pastor, we announce what Jesus tells us to announce.
All right.
Are those helpful?
Very helpful.
And don't hesitate to call again if we can be of further help.
All right. Thank you very much.
And thank you. And thanks for a wonderful Texas. It was just an enjoyable time there. And keep up the good weather. We may be coming back in 3 years, I understand.
Oh, that'd be nice.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
All right. And hopefully, Lord will provide some good weather next time, too.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, that's so funny. I come back here. here we're in like 85 degrees down there and cool at night. And they really had it hot here. And, of course, I'm phoning my wife on the way back, you know, so she can get my meal ready at 2 a.m. in the morning. And she tells me, guess what? The air conditioning is out. Sure enough, got home and the fan wasn't working or anything. Fortunately, we have some very good air conditioning folks. They came right in this morning. Schneider's, they're referred to. I've used them for years. And the thing is up and running already. And we've got some company coming today, although it's our good friend, the Nortons. Sometimes he's been with me on the air. So we're looking forward to talking with them. They're going to put some corn in jars and keep them, I guess, I don't know, what do they call that? Canning. That's what they're going to do today. So they may even be listening to us. Norton's on the way in from Nokomis, Illinois, which reminds me, I am more than willing to go out and do seminars during the week now. Now that we're on in the afternoon, I've been doing more of this. I'll do it within a 200-mile radius of St. Louis. If your event doesn't start till about 7 at night, I can usually make that right out of the radio station. Just let me know. Contact me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Or else you can go to our webpage, lawgospel.com, and there's a email, a button there that you can use and just send me a note. And please, include your telephone numbers, folks. If you have questions or you need more information, I really like that. It takes actually less time than to reply to, well, 250 emails. You can understand, not all of them I needed to reply to, of course. You're listening to AM 850 KFUO. Numbers here to phone for Open Line Friday. In fact, I'm thinking of changing this, Buzz. I'm thinking of changing the name to Information Line, because we had an information booth at the convention. And every time I got a chance, I would go up there and I said, do you answer questions? They said, oh, yes, we do. Well, I just want to test how Lutheran you are, I said. Here's the question I would ask them. Why are some saved and others aren't? And a couple of times they started trying to answer it. And I said, no. And then we finally, you know, we were all joking around. We got to the point where they understood that Lutherans don't have an answer to that question. Well, we have no idea why some are saved and others are not. All we know is that God desires all men to be saved. And we also know that if anyone is not saved, it is totally their fault. And that's kind of what we're left with. So there are hundreds of questions that we cannot answer. And you'll notice when I was answering the question with Jonathan, I was not explaining what God does. I was simply revealing what God has said. And that will offset false teaching. Because the revelation, though it may not be understood, I put water on a child and say words in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I baptize you, and all of a sudden that child is taken from the kingdom of hell to the kingdom of the Holy Christian Church. You think I understand that? I absolutely believe it. But it's in God's realm of reality where that is understood. I doubt even if the angels understand as they sit in awe and wonder of what God can do. The God we have is not a God of justice in the sense that karma has it, you'll get what you deserve. This God recognizes that with all the works you can give to him, and I'm going back to Betty's question about good works, that none of them can offset even one sin, because they're all demanded already. So in light of the fact that there was no means by which we could offset our sins, God had to step in and do it for us. And now, simply by trusting what God has done, you get the full benefits of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, eternal life, and the list goes on and on and on. If you have a question 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I also got a number of emails while I was gone about people trying to find on our webpage and elsewhere certain programs. Right now, only at KFUO.org, and that's the AM side, can you find archived programs of Law and Gospel, and that's normally the first hour only right now. We hope to be putting together a webpage, but I got an email from a pastor, Mike, out of Saskatchewan, wondering about that program on the Good Samaritan. So I looked it up and found I had done it on June the 11th, 2007. And that can be downloaded directly at AM850KFUO. If you have a computer, you just go to KFUO.org, hit the AM side, go to Law Gospel, and there's lots of dates there. And you hit June, then go to the right date, and you click on that, and you can actually hear the program right there on the computer. Or you can also, and there's certain ways, depending on what programs you have, put it over onto your computer. Then you close down the internet connection and listen to it at your leisure. We hope within a couple of months to have everything up and running where you'll be able to download these right to your iPod or other ways in which you can listen to it while you're in the car. So I certainly appreciate that letter from Mike in Saskatchewan asking that question, and that's the answer here. One of the most interesting things I did, and we've talked about this at length, and if you were listening, I believe it was Tuesday in the second hour, we interviewed the folks from Time of Grace. That's that television program. And this is a Lutheran television program here in St. Louis. It's on Channel 11 at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. But if you want to see it, you just go to the internet connection, timeofgrace.org. They were at the convention, and a lot of people were very interested in this because they are putting out a half-hour program each week. In fact, I had the opportunity to meet with the folks for some time, and I was really interested in looking ahead at their new ideas and some of the things that they hope to have. Somebody who I sent this to, they were asking, they're in an area of the country where there's no Lutheran church in the area. So I told them, Sunday mornings, AM 850 KFUO has two worship services and then this Time of Grace. Well, they listened to it, and here's what they write. Please pray for a friend and co-worker the Lord has laid on my heart. She is a 19-year-old single mom expecting her second baby any day now from her live-in lover. Her first child has a different father. Now, they give the names, but I'm keeping this anonymous, of course. They don't know the Lord, and he wants to marry her, but she is afraid of getting married. It says her mom was married 3 times, and she wants to make sure the relationship will last forever before she ties the knot. I have such a love for this little gal and have been trying to love her like Christ would and tell her about his love for her. Any wisdom you could give me concerning her and her situation would be appreciated. Well, the first thing I would encourage you to do is to get them involved with a pastor and hopefully the one who might marry them. We often went through an adult instruction ahead of time because we said, look, it's one thing to get married at a justice of a peace. All you're saying there is that you promise to be faithful and that's about it. But when you get married in a church, even though it's not necessary to do so, there you're making promises, additional ones, about your faithfulness to the true God. Now, how can you do that if you don't know what the true God desires of you? And so we would have them go through a course of instruction in order to understand what the vows they were about to make are all about. Now, in that process, if the two of them can come to an agreement and a love for Jesus Christ, then we would hope that such a marriage could take place. as to waiting for the opportunity to come around where a person is confident that the marriage will last forever, I don't think that's possible. You just have no idea, you know, looking into the future, what your future spouse is going to be like, what pressures can be put on him or her to change what you already know. And that's why being a Christian is such a wonderful opportunity in these areas. For as a Christian, we trust God. We don't trust him to make sure we never have a divorce or our spouse doesn't leave us. We trust him that once we make a decision to marry someone, all the resources will come to bear on that marriage to try and keep it together. And even were it to fail for one reason or another, you have God's promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I can't even imagine going through a divorce of somebody that you want to stay with. So I really have a heart for people who are asking this, but there is a means by which the church can get involved. And if you'll send me your phone number, I'll try and give you some pastors in your particular area where these two could perhaps do some study and come to a proper knowledge of law and gospel, which simply means they know they're not going to be saved by having a perfect marriage. But even in the midst of a marriage that has its up and downs, with Jesus Christ at the center of it, it will always come back to a true balance. Only when Jesus is taken out of the picture, and that can only be done by one spouse, that all it needs, does a marriage kind of fall apart. So though we don't have an assurance, we have assured promises that we will be able to cope with whatever happens in our life. As we move into the next hour, it will also be open line today on Friday. I have some more emails to go through, and I'll be glad to take your calls at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we also have an in-studio email at lawgospel@kfuo.org. This is Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. We're answering questions both from emails as well as Betty and Jonathan the first hour. And if you'd like to participate, please do so. Stay with us through the break and give us a ring if you have a comment or question.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.